Argue kas pasigalov. Now, here we go. We're dealing with a potter, a man who makes pots for a living. We're going to see that they can be renewed, and now, at some point, right, the more you renew them and renew them and renew them, eventually, they're going to have to be destroyed. In other words, you can't just keep doing it again and again and again. The pots eventually will have to be destroyed. So here we go. Perek Yuchas Pasagal. Hadavar Shara Yirmiyahu Meis Hashem Lemar. Yirmiyahu received this nevuah from Hashem saying, Kum Yirad Tabei Seyozer. I want you to go to the potter's house. Neshamash Miyachas Devarai. And there, I will make you hear all of my word. He is going to show that if they would observe Shabbos, as we talked about before, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rescind his judgment and allow the Jews to live. This is going to be a symbolic demonstration of how that's going to happen. But I went down to the Beis Yosef city, Yirmiyahu. He was doing his work on the wheel. I don't know how Olav Nayim refers to the wheel. I guess it's stone and stone.
In Shemot.
Yeah. It is a little bit weird, but either way, regardless. So he entered inside there. Yirmiyahu at first had no idea what he was doing there. He had no clue what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him, but he saw him over there. I'm sorry, yeah. He had a lot of strange...
Wait, so there's only one potter shop?
What? Oh, I guess when everyone was near here. The clay that he was making, right, that was sitting there out of clay and whatever it was destroyed in the hands of the potter. The potter was making, and then all of a sudden it just fell apart. So he went back, and he made another kli, maybe not as elaborate, maybe not as special, but he still made another kli out of kasher yosher be'enei yotzer lasos, whatever the yotzer wanted to do, whatever the potter wanted to do. And really, the truth is, the clay itself may have been defective, and that's the reason why it wasn't there in the first place. Or maybe the kli, the potter was trying to make too elaborate of a decoration that he couldn't really make. Like Devar Hashem Elai Lemor, and Hashem said to me as I was there in the potter's house, saying the following: Haki yotzer hazeh lo'uchal lasos l'cham beis Yisrael nu mashem. Do I not do to you as the potter does? Do I not make B'nai Yisrael as the potter does? Inikachomer b'yadi yotzer, kenetam b'yadi b'nai Yisrael. Like the mortar in the potter's hand, the clay in the potter's hands, so too you are in my hands, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and referring to all of B'nai Yisrael. He's showing them what's going to be. He's enabling them to recognize that Hashem is the creator, Hashem is in charge, and He's doing everything. Rega adaber al goy, dalmam lochol, lintosh lintot zlahavid. In a moment, right, I can decree upon either a nation or a kingdom, and I can destroy it, uprooted it, or annihilate it. I can do anything I want when it comes to this. Now, again, the three different types that are mentioned over here, three different forms of destruction. Number one is a relocation. That's what it means by uprooting them, taking them to another place. I could smash them, meaning I can allow a remnant of them to survive. Annihilating them means a nation's total existence. I am the potter, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I want to, I can reform it. I can destroy the clay. I can do whatever I want with it. But if that nation goes back from their evil, Shri Divarti Allah, that I have spoken about them, what's going to be with them. Then I am ready to accept them, and I'll go back on the evil that I thought to do. But in one moment, I will speak regarding a nation and a kingdom, whether to build it up or to plant it. But also, if they do evil in my eyes, not listen to my voice, then I go back on all the good that I wished to give them. And that's the idea behind it. Meaning, what happens is that the decree's realization is really going to be put off until another righteous generation gets around. And that's the idea behind it.
I thought they do tshuva, then it's deferred, right? Like the decree is deferred as long as they continue to be righteous.
As long as they're righteous. But if they do bad, which is this pasuk, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, now I have to go back and do the evil that I originally spoken about. And that's what he means by destroying the clay.
Did he literally go to a potter's shop and have this nevuah?
Yeah.
So he had a nevuah while he's awake.
I would assume that he was either in a trance, because that has to happen every nevuah, or he fell asleep after visiting the potter's house and watching what he did with the clay.
While he's at the potter's place, he would go into like a quick
trance.
Or like a short seizure. So,
Yeah, that would have to be something like that. But we just don't know. It's likely that that's going to be.
It can be very strange.
That's all it was. That's how Morno issued of all Yosher Shalayim Lamor. I want you to speak to the Bnei Yehuda and the people of Yerushalayim saying the following. Kol Hashem. As a side note, by the way, I don't know this, but it seems to me that whenever we mention those Ish Yehuda and the Yosheva Yerushalayim, it seems to me that all the Shvatim were around Yerushalayim. That it wasn't just Yehuda. There were the people of Yehuda, meaning the people around Yehuda itself, and then the people of Yerushalayim, who was everybody. Meaning there were Levium there was Shimon there was Gad, every other nation. nation. Yeah. Every other Shevet had a little bit of Yerushalayim.
Did each Shevet keep representatives in Yerushalayim?
Not sure. That we know of. We know that the 10 tribes were exiled, but nonetheless, it's possible there were people there. Binyamin for sure.
So that could have been
likely Shimon also, and Levi. Yeah, Levi and Binyamin. That could be also that the other people weren't included. Do remember, by the way, that Yirmiah at some point went to go back, get back those exiles. That's why at some point they went to Huldah, and they asked Huldah what was going to happen. Right, so there was a point where Yirmiah was gone, returning some of the people from exile. Anyway, I guess you could say you're Yotzer. You're not just creator, but you're former, you're clay maker. Right? Okay, I have already formed upon you some type of evil. I'm shaping that evil. And I'm devising thoughts about you. Go back and do tshuva from your evil ways. And obviously do tshuva. They're going to say, it's hopeless. We might as well just go after our convictions, our thoughts now. The issue is libo harana, that each person should go according to the waywardness of their own heart. What's the difference, right? We're totally lost anyway. What difference does it make? But then call on Hashem. This is what God says. Shalu nabagoyim. Right? I want you to ask among the nations. Mishama ke'ila. Who has heard of such a thing? Sha'aruris ostam od b'sulis Yisrael. For a strange thing must have been done by the Besulas Yisrael, referring to Bnei Yisrael right over there. Now, this is a really crazy thing. Are you really going to ask, right, the other nations about all of this stuff that we're about to say over here? Like, is that that? Nonetheless, from the fact that Yirmiah seems to direct the question very, very confidently, it seems that they could have asked them these questions, and in the end, they refused to. Maybe it's not to the common folk of the nations, but you could go to the intellectuals in the other nations to see this out. Now, what questions? Number Yudalit. Hayazov mitzur sodai shelig levanon, right? Iminasu mayim zarim karim noslim. Okay, so here we go. Can someone who's standing on the rocks all the way up above, can he fail to see the snow of Lebanon? That's not something that you would miss. It's bright white standing out there right in front of your eyes. That's number one. And number two, can you ignore cold and flowing waters that are flowing beneath you, right? These are, again, something that you would not normally bypass. If you have a river in front of you or you have a huge snowy mountain in front of you, you're not going to miss that. You're going to see it with your eyes. He says, Kishrechuni ami lashov ikateru. My people have totally forgotten me. I was to them like a snowy mountain, like a river in front of them. I was always available for them in the base of Mikdash. Yet they have forgotten me completely, and they burn incense for falsehoods. They mess them up. They stumble in their ways among all the ancient paths. And they go on roads that have never been formed before. And that's where they're hanging out, and that's what they're doing. That's what these people are going on. And that's the idea. I was so obvious to Bnei Israel for so long, and now this is what they're doing to me. Why are they not listening? Their land becomes desolate, this is Bnei Israel, obviously. Shrika is Oilam, despised by the rest of the world. Go over Allah Yishom, Yadid Barosha. Anybody who walks past the land is going to wonder, and he's going to nod their, shake their head, and just say, I can't believe this just happened. Kiruach Kadim Afitzeim, I'm going to scatter them like an eastern wind, Lefeo Yev, in front of their enemies. Oreth, Melopanim, the back of their neck they're going to turn, and not their faces. Erin B'yom Eidom, I will see them, right, on the day of their misfortune. Or you can know it, maybe you can learn it a different way. Oreth Melopanim Erin B'yom Eidom, I will show them the back of my face and not my front face on that day that is appointed for them. In other words, Hester Punim, right? So to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his name by Yomu. They say, now, it could be this is right after this prophecy. It could be that Yirmiah is still telling in this prophecy what's happened. I'm telling you this is what you're going to do, but it sounds like this actually happened. They said, let's go and let's form a plot against Yirmiah. Machshavos kilo sovad tayra mikoin, right? We're going to make like a real machshava, like a real plan. Kilo sovad tayra mikoin, right? Torah will never perish from the Quran, and the Eitz Amichacham, they will never be, we'll never lose Eitzah from the Chacham, and the Davar Minavi, and words from the Prophet. So, let's go and we'll knock him down with his tongue. Now, and we will not listen to all of his words.
He's kind of a hypocritical statement.
Well, the people are saying, listen, we have enough Kohanim out here. We have enough Nevi'im out here. We don't need another Yirmiyah. Like, Yirmiyah is no special than anybody else. What's the big deal? They didn't know what the Chacham was going to get a book. No, they agree that he's a Navi, but he kept saying terrible things. I said, listen, we've got our Kohanim, so we don't need Yirmiyah to be a Kohen. We've got our Nevi'im, we don't need Yirmiyah to be a Navi.
False.
They didn't know that. Or if they knew it, they said to themselves, they're good enough as they are. We have our Chachamim, we don't need Yirmiyah as
where
a Chacham.
Where do they get this concept that we will never be, lose the priesthood or the advice or the prophecy? Like, where do they get that concept?
They're saying, like, he's not the only one out there. If we plot against Yirmiyah, we're not going to lose anything over here. The truth is, though, that Yirmiyah could not be replaced because he was the only Kohen Chacham Navi that was alive at the time, or the highest of all of them. Although there might have been other Kohanim or Chachamim and Nevi'im at the same time.
The Navi. I mean, the fact that he was also a Kohen, how does that add to his status?
I don't know. I mean, Hilkiah, remember, his father was the Kohen Gadol, which makes it likely that he was the next in line to be the Kohen Gadol. Now, we don't know if he ended up becoming the Kohen Gadol. At least he's not mentioned in Yirmiyah. I don't think Yuma, that's what it mentions. But it does make sense that he would have been the next in line, especially because the Gemara does tell us that by Kohanim Gedolim, especially the Chassam Sofer and Shaul Hatshuva's Reish Ches, that says that it might go father to son. As long as the son deserved it, it would go in that way.
Who decides that the son deserved it? It seems like politically they would
know. The Kohanim, the Saganim, they were the ones who did it.
The Kohanim would have been like Jeremiah.
That's a good call. That is a good call.
No, but actually, I got a question. If you were Kohen Gadol and you were not okay, and it was not okay, don't you die on Yom Kippur? Why is it? You're going to die on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, not in the first base of Mikdash. Second base of Mikdash should happen.
Definitely. In the first base of Mikdash, there was that. Second base of Mikdash, there was an Aron in the Kodesh Kodesh.
There wasn't. They still died quite often. There were 300 Kohanim during the second base of Mikdash.
Yeah, but that was more because of political reasons, the bribery and people getting deposed.
Not in the beginning. At the end, yes. But in the beginning, I wouldn't think so. And, you know, Shem Chatzik was there for a while.
One way or another, you're done.
But after Shimon HaTzadi came to the Greece, and they decided who was Kohen Gadol.
So you're right. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was there for a long time also.
Right.
He was Yochanan Kohen Gadol.
But that was after they drove him out.
We don't know. We don't have times. But I hear you. There's no question. But 300 Kohanim. Somebody was dying.
That's a lot of people. Nobody's running for that job.
At 4 and a half years.
Lightning coming from heaven, or one guy killing him?
It doesn't seem likely. The only Gemara that we have... Listen, it does mention that they could be killed in the Kodesh Kodashim itself. But the only mention that we have of Siddiqui that did the wrong thing in the base of Mikdash they did throw their sorghum in. It didn't say they killed him. There is a story of one of the Siddiqui doing something, not about pouring the water on his feet, but about the guy who did the Ketores in the wrong way. And that guy, they found him on a garbage heap with a calf's foot in his back. That's what it mentions. But that wasn't there. Obviously, it wasn't in the Kodesh Kodashim.
Regardless of the fact that whatever, there was always one on deck.
Right. There always had to be a skan. There was always a skan going double. You'd assume that Yirmiyah was around there. But regardless, they were saying, we're not going to do that. Now, they did not try to personally attack Yehuda. In other words, physically assault him and destroy him. Not yet. That hasn't happened yet. Instead, they were just trying to slander him and assassinate his character. That's what they were trying to do. Yes.
You said Yirmiyah was a great Navi in the beginning. He wasn't so. When did he become great? Because in the beginning, it kind of sounds like Hashem is stepping him through every single Nebuah.
Well, that's because he was young. Remember we said he started when he was really young and Hilkiah was still the Kohen Gadol. He was only found the audience with the king because he was the son of Hilkiah. Hilkiah brought him in. So there was something special about him even in the beginning, even if he didn't fully understand it. Then it says, Akshiv Hashem Elai, Ushma L'Kol Rivoy. So now Yirmiyah says, listen to me, God, and hear the voice of my contenders, the people are designing against me. And that's why I'm saying, it sounds like the previous pasuk of Yichas was really Yirmiyah talking about what was happening as opposed to the people actually saying it out loud. Anyway, Hayashulim Tachasova, raw, will evil be repaid for my good? I did good. I did everything you told me to do. Are you now going to repay me with evil by having me be killed? Kikaroshucha, they dig a pit. Zechor amdi lefenecha, remember how I stood before you. Ledavar alayim tov, to speak about them good. Lahashiv eskamas kamehem, to return or deflect your wrath from them, to go up against them. So you have to remember what I was able to do. Paschavalav lachin tein es bneim larav. Therefore, let their children starve. Vagirim al yidecherev, and pour out their blood through the sword. I guess that's how it is. Sianin eshem shakulos valmanos. Allow their wives to be bereaved of children and widows. Vashem you are ruge mavis bahuream. Their men, the people of their household, should be killed by death. You know, but put to death all their young men. Mukecherev bemochavim. They should be hit by the sword. And that's crazy. Yirmiyah is basically advocating for Jews. These are all Jews, people that wanted to attack them. He's saying they should be killed and have a horrible life, and their wives and their kids, they should also be punished because of what they're doing to him. Now, Das Sofrim says that Yirmiyah was justified in doing so because they were directed against Mosrim and Balei Lashon Hara, not just Balei, but like Kaf Lashon Hara and stuff like that. You would assume that that was supposed to be also, those kids were also involved in the plotting, and not just them.
When kids were little.
No, I think it means the children that are old enough to take it. But you know what? It's not like that hasn't happened before. Children do die through the sins of their parents when they're really young.
Is that really? But is that for the Navi?
That's crazy. But Yirmiyah said, yes. Yirmiyah said they deserve this punishment. They should get this punishment. It's crazy. But this is like, that's a crazy curse. Then he says, Kishamaz the Akum Yotayim, allow a cry to be heard from their houses. Kisavalem Gidud, when you suddenly bring a troop upon them, Kisom, all of a sudden. Kikarosucha Lachdeni, because they have dug a pit for me to trap me. Upakam Tumlur Agoy, and they hid in snares for my feet itself. Why, crazy. But that's the idea behind it. Now, what's the pshat? What does that mean that they set up traps and everything like that? The Gemara tells us that he was accused of one of two things. Either of visiting Zonos, and they said, oh, Yirmiyah is hanging out with the Zonos. That's number one. Or that he had relationship with a married woman. That he's being together with a married woman. Of course, they didn't say anything specific. They didn't mention any specific people. Nonetheless, they said it. I'm sorry?
No, Adam?
They might have hired Adam, or they made up stuff to make it sure, make it through that.
If it's a Zonos, so you guys could spread that rumor. But if it's Ashes Ish and there was Adam, then he would be in trial.
Yeah, but the woman wouldn't be. Oh, no, maybe it was just one aid. That's enough to start a rumor, right? And I'm like, hey, didn't we see you walking into that woman's house? That's a little strange, you know?
Everybody needs counsel.
And that's what he said. And that's what that promiscuous behavior led people to believe that when he was yelling at everybody else about doing this, that, and the other, they looked at him and they said, who are you? What are you saying? I mean, like, what's going on over
there? Discredit him.
Yes. You're unfazed. So what's thrown out?
God, so.
Exactly. And that's the idea behind it. It is amazing, but that's that. Yirmiyah asked that because they wanted to starve him and his family and take them away, so it could be that Yirmiyah was asking for that to be right back to them. Anyway, the real point was to make him a hypocrite. That was the real point, that something like that was going to happen. You know everything they decided. Everything they decided against was for death. Right, do not forgive their sins. Do not erase their sins from in front of you. They should be tripped up in front of you. They should be stumbling in front of you at the time of your anger, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do to them whatever they need to do. That's the idea behind it. Allow them to stumble. This is the one that I wanted. The Gemara in Bava Kamma at the end of the first parak says that he said allow them to stumble, meaning there's one thing that can save people from death. What's the one thing that saves people from death? Tzedakah Tatzon Mimavas. That is the obvious part, but Tzedakah Tatzon Mimavas. So he said that they should give tzedakah to the wrong people. Because even though you get the mitzvah of the thought of giving tzedakah, that's not enough for tzedakah tatzon mimavas. Exactly. People that were faking it and were not really poor people and didn't really need it in the first place, they should give money to them. So make sure that they give their money to the wrong places, that it doesn't count. The Gemara goes through and says that's not a mitzvah of tzedakah. It is a mitzvah of thinking about giving tzedakah, but it's not the actual mitzvah of tzedakah, so it doesn't save you from anything. Yeah.
Didn't they just go through stories and Suvos about guys who did that?
Guys who did what?
Gave tzedakah. A whole rant, a half a daf or a daf about these guys who... I'll find it.
Wait,
I'll tell you.
Where was that Gemara?
Suvos. Oh, wait, the one I'm talking about? The end of the first parak of Avakalim. It's literally the very end, maybe text Zayinim and Bez, Yud Zayinim and Aleph. Right toward the end, Yirmiyah says it out loud. It's the bottom of the daf. Call not Hashem. What parak you test? Call not Hashem. Halok, because he's a matbuk yotzer charetz. So here we go. He's going to have the nevuah. This is a scary nevuah, by the way. This is a nevuah about the Baal and Gay Ben Hinnom again, in the valley of Ben Hinnom outside Yerushalayim. So says God, I want you to go and buy for yourself a bottle, yotzer charetz, of those who, again, a claymaker. And take with you the elders of the people and the elders of the priests. That's already over there. So in other words, this is going to be, right, a little thing that he's going to have. He's going to show that they're going to be a clay vessel, that they're going to be broken easily, whatever it is, right? The purchasing over here is you don't normally break a bottle that you made an effort to buy, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to destroy his people Israel. He's like pushing it off because he really badly wanted Bnei Yisrael to do better. That's what he says. I want you to go buy a bottle from one of these guys and go get it and bring this cane with you. I want you to go down to Gaben Hinnom, Pesach Shar HaKarsis, that is right by the gate of Karsis. I don't know where that gate is. Does anybody know the old city well enough to know?
This is
gate of Karsis?
This,
you ever heard
gate,
of it?
This is the gate of the first place comes to
Karsis. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know. I don't know what the gate of Karsis is. Right? Oh, this might be Yerushalayim, by the way. I don't know if
that
it's
is Gaben
the
Gaben Hinnom.
No, Gaben Hinnom is different. I'm saying the gate of Karsis sounds like Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim, yeah.
Yeah.
You can see that wall in the old city, in the excavation.
The first and second.
First, the time of Siskiya.
Well, I guess Yirmiyah could have been.
Yeah, it was probably the same wall. You
mean the one in the inside?
If you go in the Orova, you go like a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's one. That's one. Yeah, that's one little thing.
A little jungle gym right there.
Yeah, on the side. The Karasa Shamash Devar Lashad Abre Lecha, I want you to speak out the following words that I'm going to tell you. Again, this is the place where Molech was, where they had the child sacrifices in this area. Scary little place. Now, Martha. You're going to say the following. Shuv Devar Hashem Malki Yehuda the Yosher Yerushalayim. Listen to the word of God, kings of Yehuda and the people of Yerushalayim, called Hashem Tzvaos. Here's what God says, O Hey Yisrael. He didn't maybe roll up, I'm going to bring evil in this place. I sure kol shomat hatzonda and aznav. Anybody who hears about it is going to close their ears. Yadashar has a booty, because you forsook me, and Akhrizal Malkam was, and you made this place strange to me. You burned incense to other gods. Shulay Yudu Umehema, that they don't know anything, that neither you know, Babel Sam, and your fathers don't know, Malki Yehuda, and the kings of Yehuda, Malkam was at Damdiki. And you filled this area filled with full with innocent blood. Pasukei, Ubanu was Bamos Baal. You built up the altars to Baal. Lisos v'neva ish, to burn your sons in fire. Olos l'Baal asher lo tivi zo lo tivi v'lo olos alibi. Olos that I never commanded, I never spoke of, and it never came into my heart. Obviously, this also refers to something that we mentioned before. I'm just going to say, first of all, we never knew that Molech was one of the Baals. We knew about Baal Peor, Baal Zebub, Baal Tzephon. We knew about those, right? Baal Ekron. We never knew about the Baal of Molech. We thought that Molech was another idol altogether, but the fact that it's calling it over here one of the Baals shows that either Molech was a Baal, or they served a Baal, and they called it,
the literal translation of the word Baal is master, or somebody that's above somebody else, right?
Correct.
Somebody that's
correct.
On top
correct.
Of
yeah.
So it's just that terminology.
The word Baal we've seen throughout Yoshua, Shoftim, etc., and it's always mentioned of all of a certain god that was known in certain ways.
The
yeah.
used to treat Molech as a different...
It's totally different.
So we
totally different.
The words of Rosetta, why is Molech a separate city?
Yeah, and Molech, not only that, is put with the Arias. Notice. It's strange. It's put all together with Arias. Molech is totally separate from all the normal places of Rosetta.
Not to be misled by that specifically.
Uh-huh.
Don't say it means don't marry not Jews. It means don't...
No, and we spoke about this before. The reason why people felt that Molech was so powerful is because Avram Avinu sacrificed his child. Now, granted, God told him not to, but that's what the Moab priest said. If your son is deserving to be saved, he'll be saved like Isaac was. That's what they told him. They said, if your son deserves, then it'll be that way.
Why not worship? So is this a way of worshiping Hashem?
So to speak, people felt that this is a way of how they got there. The Moab priest allowed them to think that it was part of their
system. I think the Sephardic Zohar actually like somehow led to Hashem. You know, like
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's, or something.
Wasn't really really an avodah zarah. It was a method of serving Hashem, which Hashem says is aser in Yisrael.
Correct, and that's what he meant. Look at the wording. Asher lo tzivisi v'lo dibarto lo sal libi. Now it goes like this: there were three people who brought their children up to Hashem. Avram Avinu obviously was with Yitzchak, right? To that Hashem said lo sal libi. It never was my intention to sacrifice Yitzchak. That's why I said haleu sham la'ola, but I never said shechtim. That's number one. Number two, we have lo dibarti. I never told him to do so. Is Yiftach's daughter. Remember, Yiftach came home, right, and wanted and said, whatever comes out, yeah. He said, whatever comes out of my house first, I'm going to sacrifice, and that's his daughter. Lo dibarti, said Hashem. I never said that he should actually sacrifice her, right? That's another thing that came out. And the third one is lo tzivisi. I never commanded it. That refers to Misha, the king of Moab. Misha, the king of Moab, saw that the Jews were surrounding. He said to his people, why are the Jews so special? They told him, because of Abraham. What did Abraham do? The Akedah. He said, I'll sacrifice my kid, and I'll show how much I believe in God. And he shechted his kid in front of everybody, right? Hashem said, I had nothing to do with that. That is not what I wanted. I never spoke that out. I never commanded it. There was no shaitas. Yes.
Are there any real explanations specifically with Yiftach about
what he meant and what he did?
Why he was kind of really set on really killing his daughter?
The only other explanation is that he allowed her to live but brought her away from other people for the rest of her life, meaning led her up to a mountain and let her sit there to cry over, you know, her virginity, it literally says, for the rest of her life. It is a rare, the whole thing is very, very strange. Now, we did give answers at the time. We did give some answers. I think we gave four or five different answers as to what was going on with Yiftach. Offhand, I don't want to say them without looking them up beforehand, but I do remember we gave four or five different answers, and two or three of them were legit. They were good answers that explained it. But nonetheless, Hashem is saying, now I want.
Can we say just like, there's Jews all over the place that do crazy things. He maybe took it to an extreme.
Yiftach would not be mentioned as a show face if he was that dumb.
But no.
You know, Avi Malik is our only exception, and we know he's not listening about the show face.
No, but we know.
You're right, but he still compared to Avraham, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel.
Right, but because at the time they were just on such a low level.
No, but I don't care
how low we are. If Reb Chaim Kanievsky gets up there and be like, come here, son. No one is going to listen to him ever again. Ever. No one is going to listen to the guy says. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's compared
you don't think
to Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, that already tells me that's special. That's in Rosh Hashanah Chafei. It says, Shlosha Kaliolam, Shlosha Kobreolam.
Yes,
no question. And yes, I'm sure if we looked at it, Reb Chaim Kanievsky has also made mistakes in his life. But this is a big one.
Right. I mean, I would say, but perhaps our society today is perhaps on a higher level than the society then, as a whole. I'm not saying if it weren't like a
country or whatever. I hear you. But then the Gemara telling us this comparison specifically, that's hard. And by the way, Yiftach is compared. Relatively so. And the Yiftach, by the way, was equal to Aaron, a peacemaker. Moshe was Gidon, and we spoke about that before. Shmuel was Shimshon. That's another thing for another time. And then we have Aaron that was compared to Yiftach.
Aaron was involved with the
ego as well. Very good.
I mean, it happened.
That's the major comparison. But for that, we have Chazal screaming, crying out loud. That is not what he meant. That is not what he meant.
Right.
Everybody, I'm going crazy. That's not what Aaron meant. And Aaron was no intention for Avodah Zarah B'chlal, which shows us that Yiftach must have had something else in mind. What it was, we have no idea.
What he had in mind was an animal to come out. But
they're saying the Egel Azov of Aaron is a legit comparison to Yiftach's daughter. That's a good comparison. One is murder, one is Avodah Zarah. But nonetheless, we know that Aaron was not responsible for that Avodah Zarah. And what it was Zakah Shevedakim. There was something a little bit wrong, but not in the same way.
Even if the intention wasn't, it seems the intention wasn't, it's just talking about Shema, or isn't it?
Exactly. But there's got to be something. There's no question. So we're just missing something. There's something missing. Okay, let's see. Puzzle book. Days are coming. It will no longer be called Taifes, which was a disgusting name known as burial, nor Gehenim. Rather, it's going to be known as the Valley of the Slaughter. You know, the reason why it's going to be the Valley of the Slaughter? Well, yeah, meaning everyone's going to die in that area. Then Nebuchadnezzar is going to take everybody down there and slaughter them all.
Then how is the Muzzer trying to go there?
It seems like it's a huge mass grave.
Yeah, but you can say that about...
No, I know, but no, you're right. But like, you can presume both of them seem zero.
That's a good question. I would assume...
Yeah, but what do you do? I mean, flying airplanes all the time, they fly over a cemetery. It's a big question.
Yeah, they don't, though.
They do.
No, they don't. They won't go on those planes, though.
Yeah, you can't. How do you know? When you fly in an airplane, you don't know what they...
That's a suffix with non-Jews, but if you have a suffix by a Jewish burial, yeah, they divert the plane. They just had this with Elul. They divert the planes that come in. So like, I had a big problem with flying with Josh Zizek here. Josh Zizek is a Kohen. He'll only go on certain flights.
He only flies Elul.
He only flies Elul or one other, I forgot what else it is. It's like two others that like go around. They divert the flights from around that cemetery because it's a Vaday cemetery of Jews and the plane goes over it. So I don't know. All right, anyway, Kosius Atzat Yehuda, I will make empty all the Eitz of Yehuda of Yerushalayim B'Makom Hazeh. The Paltim B'Cherev with Ne'edeyam, I will knock down with a sword. Knock them down with a sword in front of their enemies. We have the Vakshin Hashem and everybody that wants to kill them. And Atzat Yehuda Losal Makom Lo Pashmai V'Lebem. So I'm going to put their corpses for food for the birds of the heavens and the animals of the ground. Obviously, right over there. I'm going to make this city destroyed and howling. Go over a lag. You show me Yisroel. Because then they're all going to shriek over all the wounds, all the bad things that happen there. I'm going to feed them the flesh of their own children, the flesh of their sons, the flesh of their daughters, and the flesh of their own friends. That's what they're going to eat, the matzor and matzok, in different types of pain and oppression. This is a line that we get straight from Devarim and Kisavo, that their enemies wanted to get for them. And at that point, he says to Yirmiyah, you should break the bottle in front of the people that are walking there. The bottle that you bought, you should break that bottle in front of them. That's how I'm going to break this people. In the city, just like I broke this kli, it's never going to be healed again. They're going to be buried in a random grave because there's no other place to bury them. That's what I'm going to do to this place, says God. Yoshua, to everybody that lives there, I'm going to make this entire city like a big burial ground. The house of Yerushalayim, the house of the kings of Yehuda, I'm going to be like this disgusting tummy place. All the houses in which they burned incense on the rooftops to all the heavens up above, and they brought down libations to their god, the other gods. Yirmiyahu came from that topaz, from that evil place that God had sent their lead of to prophesy. The Amalekatsu Beis Hashem, and he stood by the chutzner of the Beis HaMikdash, by Yomar called off, and he spoke out to the people. So after speaking to the Zikadim and breaking that bottle in front of them, he stood up in front of the Beis HaMikdash and he said the following: I'm bringing to this city and to all the cities around all this evil that I spoke upon it, because they have stiffened their neck, they did not do any tshuva, they did not listen to my words. Period. That's what's going to be. Now, people heard this. He's standing right outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? He's standing right outside the Beis HaMikdash. People are going to hear this, right? And people are going to get very, very angry. He got up and he heard this. He was the chief administrator in the Beis HaMikdash. He heard him prophesying all these different types of things. Now, this was an illustrious birth guy. This is a guy who had a high position from his birth. He was a very, very good person for his whole life. Chazal say that he was the Skan Kohen Gadol at the time. That's what he was supposed to be. That makes sense. Pashkor hit Yirmiyahu Navi, whether he smacked him in the face, slapped him, whatever it was. I picture it as mamash, a slap right across the face.
Maybe he just arrested him like he
attacked him. And then he put him in this prison that was by the upper gate of Binyamin, right by the Beis HaMikdash. I have no idea where this jail is, but again, we don't know what was by the first Beis HaMikdash. We don't have jails.
What authority does a Skan Kohen Gadol have?
The highest, except for the Kohen Gadol. The highest, except for the Kohen Gadol. Anything he says goes.
It seems like more of a authority, but religious authority, not a civil authority.
I know what you're saying. Maybe not, but and then again, I mean, religious people might have had rulership here. They must have.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it must have been in a way.
Yeah, but also, there was also
the Covent Guard.
With the
Vatican police.
Scott Covent Guard was the third highest position in the whole Jewish
people.
You're
the Cohen, right? And he's a Navi.
Didn't Yirmiyahu have a dad?
No.
Like this guy,
I would assume that Hilkiah was already dead, or Hilkiah was older, and somebody either had taken over at the time, or whatever it was. Hashford still was able to act on his own.
Somebody before trial. There must have been some sort of thing.
Well,
he wasn't a danger to people.
They felt he was.
By his words.
Yeah, he was making people...
But ultimately,
controversy.
Yeah.
No, don't you have to have a trial, though?
Be
judged? Or you can hold him indefinitely?
I think we're going to see. They are going to... He's going to come up to him. You'll see. He's going to say, the next day, this is the great stuff. So the next day, Pashkor takes Yirmiyo out of the jail. And Yirmiyo said, Lo Pashkor Kor Hashem Shemecha. You know, God never called you by the name of Pashkor. Ki Magor Misaviv. You know what your name is? Fighting all around. You are going to see fights, terror all around you. It's unbelievable, by the way. Can you imagine Pashkor who just threw you in jail? Right? Slapped you in the face. Takes you out of jail. They say, I just want you to know, your name is, you're a piece of garbage. That's what your name is. I just want you to know that. Right? You'd think that that would not be, he was fearless at this time. He called Hashem, this is what God says, and I am going to make for you a terror. On all of your friends, you're going to fall by the sword of your enemies, your eyes will see it, I'm going to put all of you in the hands of the king of Bavel, the Higlam Bavel, he's going to bring them to Bavel, the Higlam Bacharim, and destroy all of them and kill them all by the sword. You are going to be in constant terror of the future. But I'm going to put all the protection of the city and all of its toil and all of its precious things. It's called Otis Malkiyuda and all the treasures of the kings of Yuda. I will put them in the hands of their enemies. They will plunder them. They'll take them. And they will bring everything to Bavel that may include the Aron Kodesh. That's Machlokas. That is true. That is one opinion. The other opinion is that everything Bavel Yavu, the Gamu, whatever the pasuk is. There's three different opinions of the Gemara. What happened to the Aron Kodesh? One is that Yoshua was gonez. He was gonez certain things. Later on, by Malachim Beis, it says all the treasures popped up for the kings of Nebuchadnezzar. So the question is, did that include the Sefer Torah and the Aron Kodesh, etc.? But it does say there were three opinions that happened to Aron Kodesh. Again, was it Yoshia? Was it hid later on? Or was it brought to Bavel? Everybody who lives amongst you, you should go into captivity. You will go to Bavel. You will die there. You will be buried there. You and all of your friends, that you have prophesied lies with.
You are the false prophet.
I don't know if he was, but I guess your friends did a prophetic falsehood. It does definitely sound that way. But that's crazy. That's what he said. And Pashkor was like, alright, see you later, Yirmiyah.
I mean, it could be that Pashkor was trying to like play it off as if he's like very firm and everything, but he was telling you who us which were false.
He was a Skan Kohen Gadol in the first base of Mikdash. Remember, the first base of Mikdash was totally different. We don't know of any evil people.
We don't know of any evil people. This entire thing is talking about.
I understand, but the Kohen Gadol that are mentioned in Yuma are all tzaddikim.
The Kohen Gadol, but people become
We do see that Pashkor is going to have a terrible time from now on. Yeah, you're right. It could be that Imamish became, he gave off. I'm so shocked by this. No. P'tisani Hashem. This is Yirmiyah, another thing altogether. This was his tefillah in prison. You have seduced me, God. Epos. And I assented. I agree. Chizaktani v'tuchal. Right? You're stronger than me, and you have succeeded. I become a bit of laughter for everybody. Everyone daily mocks me. Yirmiyah said, nobody's going to listen to me anymore, right? Everybody is making fun of me. I get up and people are like, here he goes again, right? Now, people are not listening to me at all, right? They're doubting my genuineness. You're right. But he's saying, it's really happened. And that's exactly what he said. He said, you told me. You told me what it was going to be. He's saying, Hashem, you fulfilled what you said it was going to happen. Whenever I speak aloud, Ezok, Komos, I cry of violence, sowed and ruined. Ekrai, call out loud. Therefore, the word is disgraced. The word of God is being disgraced and mocked all day. Because every time I go around, I'm personally being attacked, and they're vilifying you as well. They're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be evil then. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to mention God anymore. I'm not going to speak in His name anymore. But His word within my heart, like a fiery flame, it's stored in my bones, in a lacy, right? I tried so hard to become weary. I wanted to hold it back, but I wasn't able. A nevuah does not stay put. If a Navi keeps a nevuah inside, he will die. It's misa bidei shamayim, and the nevuah itself will become like a flame that burns him from the inside. If the Navi doesn't tell it, he's mamish in pain. Said Yirmiyah, I wanted to hold it back, and I tried so hard. That's that. Once he came to the people, he needed to say it. Yirmiyah, when he came to the people, needed to say it. So Yonah ran away, said he wouldn't need to say it to the people. He wouldn't be around them to say it. But Yirmiyah was right there. He had to say out loud what was given to him. He wasn't in my control. He wasn't. It's not in my control anymore. I can't hold back. That's what he would say. Well, all of a sudden, he'd be sick. It's smallish like crazy. Miyamoe says, at times, Yirmiyah would just be having a regular conversation. So, how's everything going? Things are good? That's great. You're all going to die. That's all that would come out from his mouth. And he didn't have a choice. It would mamash just go out to the astonishment of the people that were there. Right? He would just start giving over that muster. Kishamati divas rabim, I have heard the slander of many people. Mogrim is the that terror around me. Hagidu v'nagidenu. Right? Tell it over. Accuse him. And we will back the accusation. Call Eno Shlomi, Shomrei Asasi. Right? All the people that were my friends, Shomrei Tzali, they watched for my stumbling. Hulai Yefute, maybe he'll be seduced to sin. The Nuch alone will be able to get him down. The Nikom and Nikmasenu Mimenu will go and prevail and will take a revenge against him. So in other words, Yirmiyah said, I constantly have to be on the watch. The people that I thought were my friends are now my mortal enemies who are waiting for 1 second where I do something wrong. I come to Shacharis late one day, everybody pounces against me. It's like, he's a Russian governor. He should never be a Navi ever again. Wow, what a Russian governor. I can't do anything, says Yirmiyah. Hashem osi kigibor. Hashem was with me like a mighty kigibor aretz, like a strong, mighty man. Okay, wrote by Yikashlu. Therefore, I know that the people who chase against me will stumble. Lo yukalu, they will not be able to do what they want to do. Boshuma, they'll be very embarrassed. Kilo iskilu klimas oivam los shokeah, because they're not going to be wise, right? And they're going to have everlasting disgrace that will never be forgotten. That's what it is. I know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is stronger than anybody else. Yeah, what's up?
Just clarify, meaning this complaint that he has is not like that still goes on today. I'm saying with us. You know, I'm saying that so it's like he's all upset. All people look at me for me on pedestals. Yeah, but people, that still goes on right now.
And as we know, we spoke about this before. Benjamin and I thought about this before. Yirmiyah is still questioning, although he knows it. He's like, what's the point? What do you want with me? You still want me to do more? Is there still someone, or is someone going to be affected? And the answer is yes. There are going to be people. We give the example of Baruch Ben Neriah, and I'm sure there were other people, individuals, but as a whole, it was Gehenna.
It's also for posterity.
Posterity for us. And that's for Eddie as well. That's what Eddie's saying. Yes. There were effects that were maybe far-ranging in the future that have possibilities of being there. Pasuk Yud Beis, it says over here, Hashem Tzvaos, Bochein Tzadik, he tests all of the righteous. Roach Lo Yosalev, he sees the innards and the hearts. Era Nik Moska, I will see revenge, mayhem. Yelach Gilisius Rivi, because to you I have revealed my cause. In other words, Yirmiyah is saying, I know that you see within me. I know that you know that I believe in you, and that I'm not faking it. And therefore, even if one time I stumble on the outside, on the inside, you know that I'm trying to do the best thing over here. Shul Hashem, Halu Hashem, therefore, sing to Hashem, praise God. Kitzol Nefesh Abyom Yad Mareim, you have saved the soul of the destitute from the hands of the evildoers. And that's obviously the conclusion of Yirmiyah's tefillah, probably at the end of when he was taken out of prison. Now, Arayom, then he goes on. Tisha B'Av came along. Okay? Now, Tisha B'Av is the day that we know in the future is when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, when the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. It is also Yirmiyah's birthday. Not bad, right?
Oh, it is like my story.
Unfortunately. unfortunately. Arur Yom Asher Yulad Tibo, cursed is the day that I was born on. Yom Asher Yulad Tibo, Al Yibor.
I believe this is Yirmiyah talking.
It doesn't say that it was a Nebuah. But the day that I was born on, that my mother gave birth to me, will never be blessed. Right? Some say that it wasn't the day that Yirmiyah was given birth to, but the day that Yirmiyah became, Yirmiyah was conceived. Right? On that day.
It was also
that my mother
gave birth.
You know, I don't know. You latitibo as I was born, right? No, Asher Yuladitibo, the first part of the pasuk that I was born on, right?
Yeah.
Asher Yuladasni means the same thing?
No, yeah. It would mean, Arur Asher Yuladitibo, first of the day that he was born, Yom Asher Yuladasni, Imi Ali Baruch, it should never be born.
I get it. I get the double, but is Yuladasni that? I don't know. I have it over here. I have it over here from the Mialoy, that others say it's like that. What's up?
Really? You can do the
before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it wasn't the cursed
was
day.
Always a curse.
They were talking about two different days. He was born on Tisha B'Av 9 months earlier. It was conceived.
Yeah, correct. It wouldn't have been that he was born on Tisha B'Av. He was conceived on Tisha B'Av. One of the two.
Here it says,
whichever one it was.
Cursed be the day on which I was born. May the day on which my mother bore me not.
That would be the same thing. That's what you're saying. So bore me is given birth. Right? But over here, yes. So Tisha B'Av, we all know, was the day that they cried about the Meraglim. Right? That they came back on that day and he said, I'll give you something to cry about. Right? That was the idea behind it.
Maybe Yirmiyah was a 7-month baby and he was confused on his own day.
Oh. Is that true? Is that going through?
Or is Tisha B'Av in the seventh day?
Just saying,
it's not bad.
Really?
You're evil. I'm just saying. Also, by the way, on that day was when Menasha killed many of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that day. Arura ish asher bistaretz avi lemor. Cursed is the man that told my father the news. You love the Kabbein Zucker, that you had a baby boy. Sameach simcho, that you should be making him very happy. It was not a happy day. That's what he's saying. Who is the man, by the way? Pashkor. Pashkor was the guy. It's brought down by the Medrash. Pashkor himself was the guy who did it. And he said that over to him.
So he was just a backhand way of cursing Pashkor.
Yeah. Pretty good, right? But Ishahu, that man, let that man be Ke'arim Esharapach Hashem, like the cities that were turned over by Hashem, Sodom and Amorah. V'lonicham, you should never get consolation. V'loshoma Z'alka Bavokir, you should hear the cries in the morning, with Shuvah Yisrael, and a screaming at the time of the afternoon.
That also probably did a lot to delegitimize Jeremiah, because Pashkor was a very powerful person, so when they see Pashkor going up against him.
I shall Sani Meirachem, how did God not kill me in the womb? Batili Imi Kivri, my mother should have been my kever. Barak Maharas Olam, right? And her womb eternally pregnant. I should have stayed there forever. I should never have come out, he says. Okay, it could be that it's referring to the angel of death instead of Pashkor, and that's what he's saying. Or, right, you should know the following, that Yirmiah's mother died in childbirth when Yirmiah was born. So it makes sense. If he would have stayed there, then his mother would have lived. That would have been there.
Or no, maybe his mother would have died. He would have been buried with her inside.
Oh, that's a good call. That's right. I never would have been there. That's good. But one was demi rechem yatzasi. Why did I come out from the womb? Liros amol v'yagon, to see all the toil and all the sadness. Vayichlu boshes yomai, and you know, be all my days should be consumed with the shame that I live in. Why should that be? It's a very sad statement to make. As a side note, by the way, it also shows, you know, you never think of these things, but like the Kohen Gadol was clearly not there for his wife giving birth to Yirmiyah, to the baby boy that he had. I know it's a whatever it is.
So she was a seven.
The Tshuva for sure, and there's no question. I'm not saying no, that's not it. No, a Kohen Gadol wouldn't be present. A Kohen Gadol
would be present, but you would think like he would be around the house, kind of waiting. It wouldn't be like no.
I really don't know. I don't know if the Kohen Gadol ever left for something as insignificant, so to speak, of a woman giving birth. I know. The Kohen Gadol may have gone home, but he had to be in the Beis Hamikdash at all times, meaning every day. So he had to be there. So you're right. It could be that he goes around. You know, he goes around.
That is true.
It's just, it's very hard. I never thought about it until a couple months ago when it suddenly hit me that the Kohen Gadol could never take a day off.
No,
he has to bring a korban every day. So he could never take a day off. One of the class to be there, then somebody else took over. That's when they lowered him down, and they brought somebody else up, and then the Scott Coin became in charge.
What?
So that includes when he was just
when he's Tomei, they bring up the Scott Coin goggle. Then he could go. When he's Tomei, then he could take the vacation. Right? So he was like, spit on me. Is that like saying to Zubin and Zorayim? That's the only way. But otherwise, he never left. He could never have a day off. That's an amazing thing to me. Yeah, but then again, then I thought to myself, how many people 100 years ago took a day of vacation? Ever. 100 years ago, how many people ever took one day of vacation their whole lives? Anybody? It's crazy, isn't it? Forget about getting fired on Friday, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wouldn't eat. They would starve. They'd starve. Yeah, nothing. It didn't exist. Such a thing doesn't exist. It's really, why do I have to go back to far then? If I live in India, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, even the people today who come here from Mexico and they work really hard, they don't take any vacations because every single day they work, and they work manual jobs.
You don't think about it. You just don't think about it. It's so sad. So sad. I always feel bad for, like, we have a helper, somebody comes by on Wednesdays. For 4 hours, she comes to our house, right? We pay her well. She gets paid well, you know. I think I kind of heard from her that she's an illegal immigrant, so we're not going to talk about her so much on tape. Regardless, but that bothers, right? Exactly. But she ended up working for us, and the whole point is that I was shocked by how she works. She literally works like a dog for 4 hours. Until at the very end, we always ask her, do you want to eat? Like, at first, like, we didn't ask her. After 4 hours, we'd say, like, do you want something to eat or drink? And she's like, please. Like, you don't even realize it. You don't even think about it. Then we told her, like, you can take anything you want, but she won't. She will work for 4 hours straight without stopping. She will just be running around and whatever, and after 4 hours, she'll go to the next house. My mom's, I think. She'll go right there and work for another 4 hours without stopping. We don't get that concept. I was so lazy, stuck up jerks. No, you gotta find the right one. Yeah, you gotta find the right one. Marta. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, she's illegal. Sarah Cavallos.
You don't know that.
I'm 99% positive that she's illegal because she told me she couldn't visit her son because she was afraid of being caught. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's what got it going for me. I kind of figured it out. Yeah. Hadavar asher hayo Yirmiyahu meis Hashem bishloach lo melech Tzidkiyahu es pashur ben Malkiyah. Here's the word that Yirmiyahu got from Hashem when the king Tzidkiyahu sent him Pashur ben Malkiyah and Spanya ben Maaseyu HaKohen Lamor. So he sent him Pashur and Tzidkiyahu ben Maaseyah. So they went to Yirmiyahu in the name of Tzidkiyahu. So I would assume this is after Pashur already jailed him and he slapped him in the face. Drush Nava Adenu. Ask God if Hashem. Kibuchadretzar, Melech Bavel Milchom Aleinu, because Nebuchadretzar, King of Bavel, has waged war against us. Ulayas Hashem Osanu Kichon Niplos V'yalam Yaleinu. Maybe God's going to do a crazy miracle and he's going to come away from us.
Good.
Why would go to Yirmiyahu? It's my comprehension.
Because everything he said is now coming true. They're like, oh, wait a second, maybe we can get bail us out.
So, right now, the question is not, do you think maybe a miracle will happen? The question is, did we do tshuva well enough? And when the answer is no, you go away. But like, maybe we deserve it? No. Silly question. That's not going to be there. Some say that King Tzidkiyahu really wanted him to daven, and that was it. But, as once again, I don't know what to say. We have never answered this question. Why is Nebuchadnezzar sometimes known as Nebuchadnezzar? We have no idea. Why it switches from the Nun to the Resh. It's the exact same person. Why is he known as Nebuchadnezzar instead of Nebuchadnezzar? We do not have an answer. This is the first time that it appears. We went through it all. Tens, if not 20. I don't know. But a lot.
Nebuchadnezzar only happens in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel.
Only Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, that's what he says?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have it right there. And the question is, why? You got to figure out, like, why? What's the shot behind it? It's something that we need to figure out. I guess so. It's just weird. So then Yirmiyahu said to them, he said, this is what you should say over to Chizkiyahu, and we'll see how much we can see over here. Pasuk Dalet. I'm going to turn back the weapons of war that you possess. With the king of Babel, that's the costume. That you're waging war against. I'm going to put them out who be seated lead you outside the walls of the city. I'm going to gather all those Chaldeans, all the Kasdians, the Kasdim, and Melephavel. They are all going to go into the midst of the city. Okay? There are going to be Jewish rebels that are going to fight against you. You're going to fight against the Jewish rebels, and you're not even going to be able to fight against Melephavel, and then King of Babel is going to besiege the city.
This is like asking people to do a mitzvah to fight against their own Jews? Is it like a mitzvah to go and...
No, it's not an actual... It's that this is what's going to happen. I myself, says God, am going to fight against you with an outstretched arm, with a strong arm, with these demons, and Ketzav Gadol. Right? That's like that. The Kisi... Yeah.
It's usually B'yav Chazaka of Israel.
Switched
it up.
Because, on purpose.
What the hell?
To show, yeah, this is Mamash Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against the Jews. Of the Kisi, as Yoshua Yerazos, I've knocked down all the inhabitants of this city. There's all the men of Behemoth, the Deborah, Gadol, Yamusa, and all the people and all the animals, they're going to die in a plague. After that, says God, I'm going to put Sidkio and his servants and all the people and the people that remain in the city, that survived the plague and the sword and the rub and the hunger. In the hands of their enemies, the people that want to kill them, they're going to hit them by the sword. They'll have pity, they'll have mercy, they'll not have any rachamim. And to the people, you will say, I'm going to put two paths in front of you, the way of life, the way of death. Those who live in the city are going to die by the sword of Barav of Bedever, and by hunger, and by plague. Those who fall upon the Kasdians that are, you know, the Chaldeans that are waging war against you, right, then those people over there, they're going to live, right, and their souls will be their spoils. In other words, they're going to be captive to them. I found one from over here that captivity is worse than the other three combined. That it's better to die by the sword, by Rav, and by Deber, right, rather than be captive, because if you're captive, then you get all three. That's what the Gemara Bava Basra learns. I put my face upon the city of Rav, for those over for evil, not for good. New Hashem, the Admel of Bavel, Team Dustin, you will be put in the hands of the King of Bavel. This is Rafal Ba'ishan, who will be burned by the fire. But his suggestion is the following, says Yirmiyah. If you want to live, go straight to the costume right now and give in.
Surrender.
If you do that, things will be okay. Will the base Melech Yehuda stream with the Varshav to the house of Yehuda, the King of Yehuda, listen, okay, oh, the word of God, this is referring to Tzidkiyah. Base David, call Hashem. To the base David, so says God, Dibel HaFokr Mishpat, right? You will execute justice in the morning, that Tzilu Gazul Mi'ad Oshek, you will save the oppressed, the theft from the hands of the oppressors. Tentetek Eish Hamasi, otherwise, my fire will go out like a burning wrath of Ba'ara, and it will burn the Emechavim Ne'erom Alechem, and it will not be extinguished because of the evil. You have one chance to get somewhat back in my good graces, and it's by judging the people favorably. If you act as a regular judge and you do it correctly and not waste the time doing your own things, but rather sit in court and judge other people, then I'll be okay with you. But if you don't, then you'll be punished even worse. And that's what he was telling Sidki over here. Okay. Behold, I am against you, those who dwell in the valley, meaning referring to Yerushalayim, Sura Mishor, the rock of the plains.
Do the kings do in order to save the Jews?
They have to sit and judge Bnei Yisrael when they come in and stop wasting their time on their own food, their own things, and whatever it is. Spend your time with the people and work on them. And if you do that, then it'll be good. You said, oh, who's going to be able to bring fear to us? Who in the world is going to enter our dwellings? Therefore, I put upon you according to the fruit of what you think. I'm going to put a fire in the forest, and it's going to devour all of its surroundings. That's what's going to happen. Oy,